So today we're here at the Technical Summit 2008. With me is Steve Teixeira from Microsoft.
Hi, everyone.
May you introduce yourself?
Yeah. My name is Steve Teixeira. I manage a group in Visual Studio that builds tools for parallel computing.
Okay. And you are here at Technical Summit to speak about the topic, parallel computing.
That's right.
Why do you think developers should care about parallel computing these days?
Why should developers care? I think of it as maybe there's a Darwinian aspect to this. There are some developers that will care, and there are some developers that maybe won't care as much. The developers that will care will go on and flourish. The developers that won't care will be the dinosaurs.
Okay.
Well, the reality is that our hardware is now multi-core. And I'm looking down at my big laptop. We'll show you in a moment. But our hardware is now multi-core. And so it's really, a few years ago, we had these kinds of conversations about, wow, how much are we going to have to care about multi-core? Now we know it's important. The hardware's moved. Our software now has to move to become more multi-core and many core capable, going beyond, 8 or 16 cores into the world of 32, 64, 100, 1,000 cores.
Okay.
And what are we going to do as software developers to respond to the hardware? So it's really a problem that we all have to care about. I think, there's kind of this element of it being a threat in that, gosh, my business is changing. I now have to certainly adapt my software to be capable of leveraging multiple hardware cores. But it's also an opportunity. Some software developers will understand that before others. And I think those that get in early, learn the lessons early, and are able to evolve and move forward are going to be well positioned in the future.
Okay. When a developer today or the days before wanted to make his application multi-thread aware, yeah. It was a pretty, sometimes a hard work to do. And how does your work in your division is helping us here?
Yeah, that's one of the real struggles we have right now. It's really hard. It's really hard to write good multi-threaded parallel software. There are so many things that you have to worry about. And over the years, I think the operating system and the .NET framework have kind of lowered the bar a little bit. So when we started, we just had threads. Mm-hmm. And so you could kind of manually do threads, and it's a lot of work. A lot of things can go wrong. You end up writing a lot of code that is infrastructure code. It's like your skeleton code, but you have to write a ton of code before you even get to the business logic that you put on top of that you're the problem you're actually trying to solve. And so over the years, we've had things evolve to make things a little easier. So we've got the thread pool in Windows. We have threading abstracts and a thread pool in the .NET framework as well. But still, they require the developer to manually manage a lot of the parallel execution aspects. And so what we're doing with this version of Visual Studio is really lowering the bar of the things you have to worry about in order to build parallel software. And so specifically what we're trying to do is instead of going in and having to manually say, create thread or create this delegate that you pass to queue user work item, we're trying to allow you to more declaratively express parallelism in your code. So you can declare this for loop, run it in parallel, or this link expression, run it in parallel, with literally just a few characters like dot as parallel or parallel dot for. And in doing that, the underlying runtime can say, okay, parallel for loop. I know how to take this for loop and chunk it up into small tasks of work and have the runtime execute these tasks. And as a developer, I don't have to worry about threads or delegates or queues or work item or any of that kind of stuff. I just tell it I want this thing to run in parallel.
Okay, so this means it becomes more mainstream, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And as a developer, I just concentrate on my specific core
competency.
Competency, yeah, right. Okay, do you have something with us we can show
I
now?
Do. So yeah? I have here my giant laptop, and this is it gets a little bit hot, so if the camera gets too close, you may melt the camera, actually.
It's actually a quad-core, right?
It's a quad-core laptop. And if you can see the power supply down there on the floor,
the
power supply is about the size of a small lunchbox.
Yeah, it's really huge.
So what I have here is I have a little application that I'm going to use in my session tomorrow when I talk about parallel computing. And this is a simple matrix multiplication application, so there's nothing really fancy about it. In fact, I can show you what the real work looks like. And it's kind of this guy right here, this little block of code, which is a couple of nested for loops basically inside of this larger for loop that chunks up the work based on threads. This application works in a couple different ways. It works, one is I have some work that I have based on threads. So what I want to demonstrate is even if you have a traditional threaded application, the tools that we have in Visual Studio will still help you build threaded applications. And then I've also got some code in here that uses one of our new programming models, which is PPL.
Okay.
So we're doing stuff both on the native code side and on the managed code side. Mm-hmm. The managed code side, we call the programming model TPL, Task Parallel Library. And the native code is PPL, Parallel Pattern Library.
Okay.
But if this code happens to be C++, you can imagine this could be .NET code. It's very simple. You know, once in a while you might see a little pointer symbol, but other than that, it looks pretty much just like C# code. So if I could just show you what this app does really, really quickly. What this app does is, this is my main function. I have this little measurement block that I'll show you in a moment what this does. It basically allows me to measure things inside of our profiler, how long it takes to do different tasks. So my measurement block sort of set up the phases. Here I create a few different matrices, two-dimensional arrays, and then if PPL is defined, I do work one way, and if it's not defined, I do work another way. We'll focus for a minute on the PPL not being defined. So you can see I just have a couple of for loops where I initialize all the elements of the array
okay.
to either 1 or 0. Pretty simple. Then I figure out how big I need to chunk up my work for a threaded approach using the number of procs available. And then I go ahead and spawn off some worker threads to
okay.
go ahead and do that work.
Okay. So this means you're partitioning yourself the work you're doing here on the thread?
I'm doing a static partitioning of the work, that's right. So based on the number of processors, I'm manually controlling how many threads I create to manipulate this array. This is kind of a traditional approach that you would have taken a couple of years ago, is to try and figure out, okay, how much computing resource do I have on this computer, and then let me take advantage of that computing resource to solve my problem.
Okay.
Again, this is not an approach that we'd recommend today, but the point of the demo is to show you if you have code that's probably written this way, this is how you would use the tools for this code. So I'm going to go ahead and define numprocs, which is just a pound defined to be 1. And I'm going to run this application using our profiler. So I'm going to launch the performance wizard, say I want to do concurrency analysis.
So this is a new profiler here?
This is the existing Visual Studio profiler.
Okay.
But what we've done is we've added a number of concurrent programming features, and I'm going to walk you through those features that we've added here. So it did the matrix manipulation there, the matrix multiplication, and this gives me a report on the profiler. First page shows me things like I would get with the regular Visual Studio profiler, like, hey, here's how much CPU usage I used over the run of the program. You could see I used about 25% maybe,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense. If I had one CPU, this is a quad core, 25%. It also shows me things like the hot path, how much time was spent in various functions. But what I really want to focus on is this new parallel programming stuff. So if I look, for example, at CPU utilization, you can see I get this lovely graph here that shows me, and let me minimize this window too. Eventually it will, there we go. So I get a little bigger. So it gives me this nice little view of, wow, this is how much CPU I've used throughout the run of my program.
Okay.
So you can see here I'm using about 1 CPU and then a little bit less than 1 and then 1 again. This stuff at the end is a little bit of I/O. I'm doing some file mm-hmm. rewrite just to demonstrate, but I don't want to focus on that today. I just want to show you this guy. The other thing I want to show you is this thread blocking view. if I can use the mouse properly. There we go. So in this thread blocking view, it shows us three bars along the y-axis here. The x-axis represents time. And what this is telling me is first thing is disk reads, next thing is disk writes, and then this is my one thread of execution. Green is good. You can see I'm spending a lot of time executing, okay. So green is good. And then down here I get a statistical breakdown of what's going on. So I can see I'm spending most of my time executing, a little bit of time in blue, which is I.O. As I mentioned, I'm doing some I.O. at the end of this. And then, and that's about it. So this is sequential. It's not too interesting from a parallel computing standpoint. So I want to make a couple changes to my code. First change I'm going to make is I'm going to define numprox to 4.
Okay, because you have a quad core.
Because I have a quad core. Now, it'd be really cool if we could ship this as a feature where all you had to do is open up your source code and pound define numprox to 4, and then your work would be done. Unfortunately, life is unlikely to be that simple for you. But let me go ahead and run this. And actually, I didn't even want to run it outside of the outside, although it's nice that it ran quickly. I'm going to run it inside the performance wizard once again. And so we can see the output from this thing. And so it should start, should do the math, does a little bit of file I/O at the end of that math, and it exits. Once it exits, it will now try and load the symbols, and there's the analysis. So I'm still using 25%, even though I've defined the number of procs before. And so I'm going to wonder, okay, well, why did that happen? What did I do wrong? If I look at my CPU utilization, I can see, okay, again, one CPU does most of the work.
So we are not running parallel, right?
So we're still not running parallel. And then if I look at the thread blocking view, okay, now this is telling me a little bit more useful information. So what this is telling me, as I make this a little bit bigger so we can hopefully see it. There we go. So what this is telling me is that now I do have 4 threads of execution, but if I look down these any kind of one vertical slice, I only have one piece of green executing at any one time. So what could be possibly going wrong here? If I put the mouse over, I can look at the stack dump in one of my little magenta or dark red, and dark red means synchronization. So I could see here, RTL enter critical section is in my call stack being called by my code.
Okay.
So that means, okay, I've got a critical section that's blocking. Let me go ahead and go back to my code, and let me see if I can find that critical section. It so happens that it's right here. So here's my critical section, and you can see I'm protecting this part that does the math with the critical section. People do this in their code to protect a shared resource if they don't want multiple threads to read it and try and write it at the same time. In my case, the only reason it's here is so I can demonstrate this feature.
Yes.
So I actually don't need it. So I'm going to comment that out, and then I'm just going to run it again, and we'll see what happens. And it's starting up. You can see that the answer came back much more quickly that time. And so now my performance analysis looks much better. Now
Wonderful.
You can see I'm getting almost 100%. And if I take a look at my CPU utilization chart here, you can see, wow, that's great. The yellow that I see coming down from the top, that's just other things running on the system. And the green coming in from the bottom, that's my code. So you can see that it's using as much resources as are available. There's obviously some other things going on the system, which is fine. One of the things to point out about this is this points out kind of a flaw in my program code, which is I'm statically partitioning the work with threads, but I don't own this machine. There's lots of other software running on this machine. And so these old approaches where we assume that we can just use whatever's on the machine are really flawed. And I'll show you our approach to solving that problem in just a moment. But now you can see I've got lots of green going on at the same time. And I could talk about these measurement blocks here where you saw in my code I was declaring some measurement blocks. These really declared different points in my code where I could say, okay, this is my initialization. This is where the math is happening. This is a barrier so we can make sure everything finishes. And then this part is I/O.
Okay.
So it's kind of 4 pieces here. And the yellow pieces here we see, these are just what we would call quantum expiration or thread preemption, where the OS said, okay, you've had enough time to run on your thread. I got to give some time to another thread. So that's normal. And it makes sense that we would see this in about the same place where you saw that yellow stuff going down. There's obviously other stuff on the system that wanted CPU resources. So this looks pretty good, actually. If I look at my execution breakdown, you can see now I've got lots of green, very little magenta or dark red color. And I can also do some interesting things here, like this allows me to zoom in on an area of interest if I'm really interested in looking at some specific area. I can zoom in and take a deeper look. I can zoom back out again if I want to see a whole look. I can also do interesting things like turn on measurement only, and I want to say, how long does it take to do my initialization? And I can just drag the mouse, and I can see it takes 0.14 seconds, or about 0.13 seconds to do the initialization. So that's pretty cool. There's one other view on here that's really cool, which is core execution. And so what this is my four cores along the y-axis.
Okay.
Again, time is along the x-axis. And in this view, and my apologies to anybody that's colorblind, we're still working on the colors, but right now we have to use different colors. In this view, each color represents a different thread. And so what you see here, for example, if I pick the dark green, you can see dark green starts on core 2.
Yes.
And then it executes a little bit on core 1 and 2. Then it kind of moves to core 1, then back to core 2, a little bit on core 0, and you can see it jumping around a little bit. In general, you want one thread to stay on one core, because in that way you get the best behavior with respect to cache. Cache, for example, would be the biggest performance killer if you saw a thread moving around. But in this case, it actually looks pretty good. You see a little bit of thread migration across core, but it looks pretty good. If I saw something bad, I would be able to zoom in on that particular piece. Like, for example, if I was concerned about this, I could zoom in on that, and then I can take a look at why that might be happening. Generally, if you see it happening, it means either the system is trying its best to cope with oversubscription, or it means that I've got lock contention that's forcing the operating system to move things around in order to accommodate locks in my code. I want to show you one other view here, make another change to my code. And in this case, what I want to do is I want to turn on PPL. Now, what happens when I turn on PPL? Remember, I had this pound defined PPL down here in my code. What this will do is this block of code where I had the initialization, the nested for loops, what I've done where I turn on PPL is I change that to a parallel underscore 4.
Okay.
And I do that on just the outer loop. And this uses new C++ lambda syntax. So what this syntax means is I'm going from 0 to less than matrix size, stepping by 1. This last parameter here is the lambda, so this means I'm kind of looks like a little Star Wars TIE fighter.
Yes.
Means I'm passing the stack by reference. And then int I represents this variable here. And so you can see that I'm just using I here just like I would in a normal for loop. And that's about it. So it's pretty simple, similar to C#.
Yeah, it looks pretty familiar.
Yeah, if you know .NET. So let me just run this now and see what this looks like. So now what this will do is that little phase of initialization, it will use concert for that. You could see it was even a little bit faster, you might be able to tell here in reporting the answer, than it does the I/O. That little initialization piece in the profiler is now peaking up here at 100, so that's pretty good. Let's take a look at CPU utilization. So that looks good. Again, you see a little bit of interference, and now you see that I don't have the little sequential initialization that was there in the last example. The whole thing is trying to use as much resource as it can get. If I look at the thread blocking view now, wow, you can see I'm getting a lot more threads. And let me see if I can give us some more space to look at all of that. There we go. Okay. So we can look at these threads. And you can see now this initialization phase that was, 0.13 seconds last time, is now something on the order of 0.08. So it's gotten much faster. And that's even a very small amount of work. Normally, of course, you'd want to do more than, 0.1 seconds of work. But you can see that the runtime now is spawning off a bunch of threads on my behalf, and it's using these threads to execute so that if I zoom in a little bit, let's say we're interested in this little initialization piece right here. Let me turn off measurement only. There we go. So if I'm interested in this initialization piece here, well, for some reason, it's not doing what I want. But again, it wouldn't be, we'd be shipping it if it were ready. So I expect it's going to have issues. So now you can see that I'm doing lots of this initialization work in this little block. You can see up here that I not only have my measurement block for the initialization, but I also have one for the parallel four. So what we've done is anytime you use resources that are new programming models, so parallel.4 in the managed languages, or parallel_4, or parallel4eaches, or any of these algorithms, we've instrumented these algorithms so that when you you can turn on tracing, and then when you use them in the profiler, what you'll see is, oh, this is where my parallel 4 is, and this is where this thing is. And so you can kind of correlate these back to places in your source code. And you can even see when you kind of get too much, you've tried to over-decompose the problem. So you saw in my example that I paralyzed the outer for loop, but not the inner for loop, because there wasn't a lot of work in the, you know, in the outer for loop except for the inner for loop. And if I were to paralyze both of them, you would see in the profiler all these little parallel, parallel four indicators, and you would see a lot of, you would see the runtime doing its best to cope with having a lot of parallelism in my code. But that's probably decomposing the problem a little bit too much to have these nested loops. So as a rule of thumb, we put it on the outer loop. And then what happens if we look at this code is that after the initialization, the runtime, the concurrency runtime, keeps these threads alive in case it assumes we're going to need them later because the cost to create them is high. So it keeps them around and puts them to sleep. And then you see my explicitly threaded code again down here and then up here with my main thread. And my explicitly threaded code keeps running. If I were to do another parallel four or something like that, you would see these threads that the runtime owns light up again and be repurposed for a different use.
So you don't have the heavy workload of creating those threads. You can just reuse them.
That's correct. And then what's more is that the scheduling that occurs on these threads happens in user mode.
Okay.
So it's all cooperative scheduling that happens in the concurrency runtime, so I don't get the overhead of all these user to kernel and back again transitions that you would normally get with thread switches. Instead, concurrency runtime does cooperative thread scheduling for me. And in Windows 7, they're doing a little bit more work in the operating system to make that scenario even a little bit better. Works great on XP and higher, but it'll really light up on Windows 7.
Okay. Cool. It's really nice work you did so far.
Thank you.
Will it be also available in VS 2008 or just for 2010?
Just for 2010. What we have is we have a customer technology preview available today called the Parallel Extensions to the .NET Framework. That you can use as kind of a try it out with Visual Studio 2008, but we don't have a license that allows you to ship with that. So it's really intended for just purposes of kind of reviewing the technology, understanding it, getting a feel for it, giving us feedback on what you like and don't like. But we're making a number of changes between now and the time we ship it, so it won't be ready for you to ship software on. The bulk of this stuff, so in Visual Studio 2010, you'll see a few things. One is the profiler technology I showed you, also the C++ programming model I showed you, the .NET programming model, TPL, also PLink, parallel link, and also some extensions to the debugger that allow you to manage those programming models. So all of that is shipping in VS 2010.
Okay. So was great that you showed us your work and to have you here. And if we would like to give our audience some points where they can get more information, is there some developer center or
something?
Absolutely.
MSDN. .microsoft.com/concurrency is the dev center. And the other thing I want to point out before we go is that the conference center here looks like a space station.
Yeah.
So I think you should pan around and just show people that I feel like I'm an astronaut.
That's really true. It's like the Imperial Destroyer from Star Wars or Star Trek. Good.
All right.
So, nice to have you here.
Thanks, Steve. Good to talk to you.